Okay, we're choir's going to lead this singing. This is a cappella. The doxology, which you shouldn't need your books for. All right? Okay, we got one more person coming up here.
Our kind, loving Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy holy and most precious name. Father, we thank you so very much for this opportunity to separate ourselves from the world and their cares this weekend and participate in this convention and share the love and study of your word with those of like precious faith. Now, Father, we ask your blessing on Brother Len and as he directs our Vespers this evening, as well as those who will share through the voice of song to lift up their hearts to you. Father, we thank you for the gift of your only begotten Son who died, made it possible so that all will have an opportunity at the heavenly kingdom. And we look forward to that day. And we're mindful of those who aren't with us, those who are going through special trials and difficulties, those who are online or needy in some special way that's perhaps known only to you. We love you, and we love your Son, Jesus, and we ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Andy. Real quick, love from Louisville, the class of Louisville, Kentucky, and especially Sister Tina and Brother Joseph King. With that, we'll turn the program over to our Brother Len Grice for our Vesper service. Brother Len.
Thank you, Brother Larry. Thank you, Brethren. We're going to integrate tonight several generations here, from the piano player to the choir to some of the young people going to be reading some things. And this is really called My Prayer Is to You, O Lord. It's based on Psalm 60, verse 13. But as for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord, at an acceptable time, O God, in abundance of your steadfast love. Answer me in your saving faithfulness. Psalm 69:13. So we're closing our convention with this Vesper service dedicated to the Lord's gifts to us, mainly the big gift that he gave on our behalf, which was Jesus, his only Son. So we'll be reading scriptures and telling stories and singing some songs for you, with the hope that it brings glory and honor and praise to our Heavenly Father. Hebrews 5, 10, and 11 says, Paul says, on this topic we have much to say, and it is difficult to explain, since you have become sluggish in your hearing. Now we're going to have Daniel. Where's Daniel? Daniel? Okay, Daniel. Come front. He's going to read a story for us called Hearing God.
Hearing God. A man once heard a mockingbird practicing its imitations outside his bedroom window early in the morning. He was thrilled by the beauty of the bird's songs. Gradually, however, he began to take this early morning songster for granted. One day he awoke and it dawned on him that he no longer appreciated the visitor with the sweet voice. It wasn't the mockingbird's fault. It was still there. Its beautiful song had not changed, but the man was no longer listening for it. As believers in Christ, we may have a similar experience hearing God speak to us through his word. When we first come to him, his truth fills us with spiritual food and we are deeply satisfied. As time goes on, however, we routinely read the scriptures, or the volumes, or the reprints, in a way that no longer speaks to us. Our spiritual senses grow dull and lethargic, and God's message for us becomes commonplace. But then, what joy we feel when a particular passage of Scripture, a discourse, or a testimony touches us just right, and we note a particular comment that reveals an exciting truth, and once again we hear the Lord. Are you reading out of a tired sense of duty, or do you still possess the fresh expectancy you had when you first discovered God's truths?
Thank you, Daniel. First song the choir is going to sing is called "Oh Mighty God, When I Behold the Wonder," and you'll recognize the tune as "How Great Thou Art," but listen to the words, distinctly different. Proverbs 4, verses 20 and 23, we read, "My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart. for they are life to those who find them, and healing to their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. We're going to hear an assessment of ourselves spiritually with a reading called Healthcare from James.
If you are over 40 years old, your heart has already beat more than 1.5 billion times. When your heart stops, it will be too late to change your ways. So you might lose some weight, get more exercise, and begin watching not only what you eat, but also what's eating you. Some experts now believe that stress is the single greatest factor in the heart disease. There is another vital organ called the heart. Our spiritual heart is it too has throbbed millions of times with thoughts, affections, and choices. In the spiritual heart, we determine how we will speak, behave, and respond to circumstances. We will trust the Lord and choose to be gracious, patient, and loving. Or will we yield to pride, greed, and bitterness? In we keeping spiritually fit, let's submit our spiritual heart to a fitness assessment. Weight. Do we need to lose weight? The weight of the necessary burdens and cares? Pulse. Are we maintaining a steady rhythm of gratitude and praise? Blood pressure. Is our trust greater than our anxiety? Diet. Are we enjoying the life-giving nutritions of the Word of God? Have you checked your heart lately? Your spiritual heart?
This next song that we're going to do is a song called God Will Take Care of You. Sorry. God Will Take Care of You.
Thank you.
In Galatians 6, 1 and 2, we read, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." God sent Jesus to bear the burden of our sin passed on by Father Adam. Our best way of showing trust in God is by helping our brethren in their own struggles. When we sacrifice on behalf of our brethren, we are reflecting God's love in our lives. Our next reading by John is going to be called A New Flax Shirt.
Onesimus was Philemon's slave. According to the law, he could have been executed for running away, but Onesimus had run into Paul, and Paul transformed him into a following of Christ. Paul sent him back to Philemon with the assurance that the apostle would repay anything that the runaway slave owned. Paul carried Onesimus' burden. Brooker T. Washington wrote about an experience he had that illustrates the same principle. "The most trying ordeal that I was forced to endure as a slave boy was wearing of a flax shirt. That part of the flax from which our clothing was made was the cheapest and roughest part. I can scarcely imagine any torture that is equal to that caused by putting on a new flax shirt for the first time. But I had no choice. My brother John, who is several years older than I am, performed one of the most generous acts I have ever heard of one slave doing to another. On several occasions when I was being forced to wear a new flax shirt, he generously wore it for several days until it was broken in. Jesus endured the pain of crossing on our behalf. When we bear one another's burdens, we will follow his example and fulfill his will for our lives. Are you willing to wear someone's new flax shirt today?"
This next song, which the choir will do, is called "Fairest Lord Jesus." Jesus left us words, the words and the way to understand the purpose and meaning of life. When we shape our lives according to the example that he set, and consider his example in all that we do, we can achieve the ultimate peace in a world of chaos. We no longer fear what is going on around us, nor do we fear the future. Matthew 7:24-25 reads, "Everyone who then hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock." Naomi is going to do our next reading, which is called Building Your Life to Code.
In 1992, Hurricane Andrew destroyed thousands of homes in South Florida. Yet in an area where the wreckage looked like a war zone, one house remained, still firmly anchored to its foundation. When a reporter asked the homeowner why his house had not been blown away, he replied, "I built this house myself. I also built it according to the Florida State Building Code. Whatever the code called for, I used. I was told that a house built according to code could withstand a hurricane, and it did." Jesus talked about the importance of building our lives on a solid foundation. He said that a person who obeys his word is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. If we build according to his code of obedience, we will not be swept away when crisis hits with hurricane-like force. The tempests of temptation and the storms of suffering will not be able to sweep us off a solid foundation of faith. Adversary may come, yet because we have built according to the code of the unshakable rock, Jesus Christ, we can emerge with our character strengthened. Are you building your lives according to Jesus' code?
This next song we'll be doing is called Leaning on the Everlasting Arms.
Leaning on
Well, brethren, when we look at the signs about, we see that for those members of us left at the end of the age, our journey is completing. The bright days we see on the horizon, however, the vision is before us. Let us keep our focus and not be distracted by the subtle temptations of the adversary and the world around us. Our final reading by Ryan is called Lessons from a Shipwreck.
In the early part of the century, an American ship was wrecked off the Scilly Isles near the coast of England. The sea had been calm and the weather clear, but the vessel was caught in a treacherous current that slowly lured it off its course. Before the captain and the crew realized what had happened, the ship had crashed into the rocks. In life, too, powerful currents of compromise can catch us and carry us to shipwreck. Spiritual drifting is usually a slow and imperceptible process. We know it has happened whenever we have lost the strong resistance to evil and the passionate desire for truth that we once knew. The Apostle Paul wanted to make sure this wouldn't happen to those whom Timothy ministered. He encouraged them to be faithful in telling others what they needed to know so that they wouldn't stray from their devotion to Christ and cause their faith to be shipwrecked. In our day, in the end of the age, for everyone we see leaving the way abruptly, we see more slowly drifting away from regular study and worship and the narrow way of consecration. We must give careful attention to what we believe so that we too do not get caught in a drift and end up shipwrecked on the rocks before our full redemption comes.
Our final song for this Vesper is one called "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." And this is our prayer for you as we go forth. Remember, it is truly sweet to trust in Jesus, and it's a precious gift we have.
Trust in Jesus, just to